I'll now call to order. First off, our project hearing tonight. And the first item of our project hearing tonight is for the board to hold a project and second preliminary determination hearing on the proposed construction projects. If you're interested in speaking at the hearing, please make sure you've signed the sign-in sheet at the back of the room, which should include your name and address. After a presentation by the administration and its advisors, there will be an opportunity for the public to make comments about the projects. At the hearing, we will ask that each person limit their comments to 3 minutes and that the topic be limited to the proposed projects under consideration. The notice of this preliminary determination hearing was published as legally required on February 26, 2021 in the Indianapolis Star and in the Indianapolis Business Journal. The first preliminary determination hearing was held on March 8, 2021, last Monday. At this time, I will ask that Eric Long, bond counsel, explain the purpose of this hearing. Eric?
Good evening, and thank you to the members of the board and administration for me to be here this evening. Preliminarily, am I at a safe enough distance to remove the mask for the microphone, or should I keep it on? What's the preference?
I'll keep them on.
So okay, I'll keep them on, and I'll just try to talk a little bit more directly into this microphone, just so it can be on the record. So good evening once again. Pursuant to Title 20 of the Indiana Code, before a school corporation may spend more than $1 million to build, renovate, repair a given facility that's going to be financed by a bond issue of some sort, whether it's a geo bond or lease financing, it must hold a public hearing at which explanations of the potential value for that project are provided to the community. Similarly, pursuant to Indiana Code Title 6, a school corporation must hold two public hearings in order to adopt a resolution to preliminarily determine to issue bonds or enter into a lease for a project which is in excess of other certain thresholds, which we refer to as a non-control project. So kind of twofold this evening as far as the hearing process. So these public hearings and the adoption of the resolutions are the very beginning of the legal process for which bonds might eventually be issued. And the resolutions that are presented this evening establish the maximum financial impacts for that potential project. And I'm happy to entertain any questions this time or later on in the meeting as needed.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
We will now hear from Fred McWhorter, Chief Operating Officer, about the process of determining and communicating the project to the community and the need for the project. Fred.
Thank you. As you kind of stated earlier, we've had this will be our second hearing. We had a hearing a week ago, Monday, and we'll essentially be going over the same information that we did last Monday, as well as the board's had previous work session in February as well. So it's really quite a simple project and reason. Due to enrollment growth, we're running out of space. And so Tyler, can you go to the next slide there? So because of it, we're running out of space. We've had just under 1,400 students in the last 4 years increase in enrollment. Our demographic study shows that we're going to grow another 200 kids a year for the next 10 years. I'm tracking over 1,000 housing starts in apartments getting ready to come into the district. We chose Kittley because, if you recall, I believe it was a year or so ago, we changed our grade configuration because we were having some crowding at our elementary schools. And so we changed our grade config to K-3 and then 4-6 intermediate. And then we had the junior high 7-8 and then the high school 9-12. So when we did that, that created space for all of our elementary. So all of our elementary space are sitting in decent shape as far as maximum capacities go. The junior high, as you know, we knew it was over capacity, which is why we're doing the construction project for the junior high right now, if you've driven by there lately. So it essentially left the intermediate schools basically at 93, around 93% capacity this school year. Next year, Kittley is slated to be about 97% capacity, which is why another reason why we chose Kittley as a building to address. Essentially, both the elementary schools hold like 1,200 students now, so the plan, long-term plan is to raise those to 1,500. Essentially, we want to create 1,000 kids per grade level capacity. We have that, or real close to that at the elementary level. We have that, we'll have that at the junior high when that construction is complete. This will get us substantially there at the intermediate level by having this project. Can you go to the next slide, please? So with this project, essentially what we need to do is add about 12 classrooms and net 12 classrooms onto Kittley. In addition, we need to address some of the HVAC issues because it's an older building in Edgewood, which is another reason why we took Kittley. And then we'll add a gym on the end and then also a cafeteria and tearing the old cafeteria into additional performing arts space. With this project, there'll be no increase in residential tax bill. It's underneath the tax cap. We have debt falling off as well. The hard construction cost will be approximately $14.3 million, but when you consider soft costs of architect and construction manager, equipment and technology, furniture, et cetera, and cost of issuance cost, it'd be another $3.1 million. So the total cost, project cost, is at $17.4 million. We'll get into more of that numbers a year later. We're also going to utilize our even though it's 17.4, we're only going to propose borrowing 16.5 at some point in the future. We're going to use existing cash to lower our capitalized interest cost. And the balance, anything over 16.5, we would use our existing cash or rainy day funds. So next slide, Tyler. Just a slide about enrollment I was talking about. Up 233 kids this year at September. January after the semester, that number's risen from 233 to 309. So we're the only school corporation in Marion County that I'm aware of that has had an increase in enrollment this school year, especially since the pandemic, COVID has hit. Rolling up kids our grade to the next grade level, assuming kindergarten's the same, with no growth, just rolling existing kids up, we're going to see 312 kids next year. So with growth, it could be higher than that. So next slide. Just a slide of what our existing capacities. When we redid the elementaries, it put us back in the green between in the lower 80% facility or fill range. Again, we have our concern here at the intermediate level. The junior high, which is in red, that will be solved once the construction is complete. Next slide, please. This is just as we roll up to the next grade level. So it'll still leave Edgewood as a concern, and high school will be a concern. We'll hit 90%. As a district, we're approaching 90% district fill. So, you know, future projects in the future, we'll have to deal with those two facilities, but this will get us to this point here. Next slide. With that, we'll talk about the project itself. Next one. So this is our existing facility. You get Kittley Intermediate. You have the two academic wings where the X's are. You have our central core offices, counselors, performing arts. You have the existing gym. You have the performing arts area and then the cafeteria. So the proposal is to connect these two academic wings together and put a central core here. If you go to the next slide, as you can see here, it keeps it within the same footprint so we don't have to mess with the parking lot, the busing. We'll actually have three exits out now instead of the two that we currently have. It'll also allow to connect the north and the south academic wings together so they, instead of having to go all the way back around through here, there's actually two ways and through the center. So it'll actually make traffic flow a little bit better. Added a gym off the end here and a cafeteria off the end here. Go to the next slide. This is the roofing image that's from the outside. It'll look similar to what it does currently today, but there'll be some flat roofs on there, which is less expensive. Next slide. And then this is just a kind of a graphic of the additional. So even though there's 14 rooms here, it's a net add of 12, because we have to, in order to connect the two, we have to demo a couple rooms here in order to connect it. Have some makerspace, technology, the media center, some the LGI room, some special ed areas. Again, we have the cafeteria off this end here that can be accessed from the outside. Same with the gym. So with 1,500 students in that building, there's a need to have these additional spaces here. It also takes this existing cafeteria, changes into performing arts space, which almost doubles the size of performing arts space, which is desperately needed in that facility. Next slide. Timeline-wise, we're right here in March. So assuming this process goes forward, we'll have some more hearings, more resolutions to pass. Assuming that all goes forward, We'll go out to bid here in the later part of this year, around September, October-ish, open bids, and then we'll start construction after the first of the year, probably April, May. I can't see the month there. So coming right before summer starts, and then it'll take about 18 months or so to, well, not 18 months, it'll take till August of 2023 before the building will be finished. So even though today is March 15th, we really won't have access to the new construction until the beginning of the 23-24 school year. So it does take a considerable amount of planning and time to get this done. Next slide. Just a breakdown of cost. So when you talk about the classroom addition, the activity addition, renovations, it comes to right at, my eyes aren't as good at looking like you, just over 13 million. Then we have an alternate of a south bypass road to improve traffic flow, as well as roofing over the flat area of the existing roof. So with that, and then with a 5% contingency, that's how we get to the 14.1 in hard costs. Next slide. Hopefully bids will be better, but if that, I'd be happy to answer any questions in regards to the need or the project. But if not, then I'll ask you to go to the next present, the financing aspects of it.
All right. We will now hear from Baker Tilly Municipal Advisors, LLC, our municipal advisor, about how the proposed projects will be financed, as well as information about the effect on the typical property taxpayer. Brock?
Thank you, President Smith, members of the board. It's nice to see everyone again from a week ago, minus 1 hour. But everything you'll hear this evening is right in line with what you heard 1 week ago. And I do want to start off by mentioning, being part of the preliminary determination hearing, there is additional details related to this proposed project, and constituents can receive that information by contacting Mr. McWhorter. So looking at this overall plan for this proposed project, I want to start by looking at the outstanding debt for this evening on slide 2. And with that tiny font, thank you very much for pulling that up. The reason why this presents a really nice opportunity, as you recall from last week's meeting, is we have two bonds maturing, and this here in 2021 is the last year of increments. So that really sets up nicely as we've been planning for this opportunity for Franklin Township, is to structure these bonds with, as we've mentioned multiple times, especially Mr. McWhorter, that there is no increase to the debt service tax rate to our constituents. So as you can see with this chart, right now in 2021 is the annual peak of our debt at right about $28.2 million. Then we have a substantial drop beginning in 2022, around $16.7 to $17.1 million. So again, really sets up for a nice opportunity to be able to fit not only these bonds, but another set of bonds we're selling. So go ahead and jump to the next slide. For those visual learners who prefer to see a graph opposed to numbers, same information as the second graph, but again, bring your attention to the difference between the annual payments in 2021 versus 2022 and beyond. So again, really sets up for a nice opportunity to consider these bonds to go to market. If you don't mind jumping to the next slide. So the first column, you'll see the 2021 A bonds. If you recall, about a year ago, this board approved proceeding with the junior high renovation of $10 million, working on that for a sale in a couple of weeks. So we don't want to lose sight of that in our overall debt plan. However, for this evening, we have built three illustrative options as part of the resolution that can be considered. So in all of the three options, there is no impact to the taxpayer. So what we'll weigh and the reason why we don't have a final structuring yet is, as you heard Mr. McWhorter, we're not starting to accept bids until September, October. That means we're not going to be selling bonds until around that time as well. So we don't think there's going to be an interest rate increase. However, you never know. So that'll be a part of it. Also looking at when we receive our net assessed value in August and when we receive circuit breaker numbers in 2021. So there's three variables we're still waiting on before we finalize structure that we'll have by the time we sell bonds later this year. With that in mind, as you heard Mr. McWhorter mention, in all three scenarios, we're setting a maximum issuance of $16.5 million. And the repayment structures are from 3 budget years, or 3 years and 1 month, to a max limit of 6 years and 1 month. You can see the interest rate expense estimates range from $1.3 million to $4.3 million. And that's because the longer you pay bonds, the more interest you're going to pay. So as it relates to the maximum annual payment, you'll see in the resolution we have established an $8.653 million max annual payment. That doesn't mean, again, that our payments are going up by that much or increasing from 2021 by that much, but rather the maximum payment related to the project. And we'll see that in the coming slide.
And it could be lower if we end up doing these other options.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But again, the resolution gives you flexibility to consider any of the three.
Can't. Yeah, you'd have to defease the bonds, yeah.
And the DLJF only let you levy according to your repayment. A great question.
As it's not like a home loan where you can pay off early.
Good question, though. Then the next line, as you'll see, is part of the maximum annual tax rate in the resolution, the max estimated tax rate of 0.2741. Again, that is just as it relates to making that max annual payment. But I can't emphasize enough, in the three scenarios, there is no increase compared to the 2021 debt service tax rate. Option two, or scenario two, there is an increase compared to 2020, but it's still in line with what we are currently paying on our tax bills here in 2021. So those are the three scenarios. We'll look at a little more detail in the coming slides as it relates to how it fits into the overall debt. The charcoal color represents the outstanding debt that you just saw in slide three. The orange represents the 2-year repayment on the $10 million junior high bonds we're currently working on to be sold later this month. The light blue is represented by scenario one, that repayment structure if we wanted to keep it within our 2020 repayment structure, or our 2020 annual budget from debt service. Again, this is a nice scenario that not only are we dipping from 2021, we're also keeping it in line with 2020. So this is one scenario that we can't consider. No increase to taxpayers, can't emphasize that enough. The second option is similar to the one you just saw. Charcoal color represents the outstanding debt as of today. The orange is the 2-year repayment. Estimated repayment for the $10 million junior high bonds. Then the light blue represents the second option, or that paying it back as quickly as we can option, paying it back over 3 years. And that keeps everything in line with what we're currently budgeting for 2021. So there will be an increase, as we mentioned, over 2020, but no increase compared to budget year 2021. That's option two. Option three gives you and your team a little bit of more flexibility because, as you can see in the charcoal color bars, the outstanding debt, we have a dip in 2026 and 2027. So if we look to start refilling those dips, we can structure these over a longer repayment period where we're paying more interest. However, it allows us to drop our debt service in 2022. Then either consider additional bonds perhaps later this year or in 2022 to keep that repayment structure level going forward. So a lot of options, just going to depend upon the variables with net assessed value, interest rates, and circuit breaker hit, as it should be released here within about a month.
And there's pros and cons, because the where's this one kind of levels things out. The con to it is you have to wait a couple of years before you start paying more of the principal, so you're incurring more interest cost. Yep. And so on the other previous options, kind of the pros is you're paying less interest cost, and you could fill in this with other projects down the road as opposed to layering on top. So
all three scenarios are advantageous, but just a little bit of difference between the three, as you mentioned, that balancing of how you want to manage the debt service tax rate long term versus the amount of interest payable between the three options. And in all three scenarios, there's no increase to taxpayers compared to 2021.
Right.
Happy to answer any questions.
Any no questions? Thank you, Brock. We'll now open up to the public hearing, remembering that if you're here to speak, to come to the front, name and address. And I don't see anyone in the audience, not a partner or staff. All right, so we will go ahead and move to Eric Long, bond counsel, to please come forward and summarize the project resolution.
So I believe you have these resolutions in your board packets, and obviously we have these up on the screen here. And again, as mentioned before, we're satisfying two different statutory provisions this evening. So this first one, the project resolution, is the Title 20 resolution. So this is required, again, when a school is planning to spend more than $1 million to finance a given facility. This resolution is going to contain the estimated hard and soft construction costs, like Mr. McWhorter said previously, as well as the cost of issuing the bonds, which establishes the total project cost. And it also contains the estimated tax impact, which is as noted here, and as Mr. Boucher said a few moments ago, it's a net zero relative to the 2021 tax rate.
Could I have a motion and a second to adopt the project resolution? So moved, Ms. Folk. Second, Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Eric Long, our bond counsel, could you please summarize the preliminary determination resolution?
Yes, thank you. And this is the second hearing component. This is one is the preliminary determination resolution that satisfies the Title VI provision. And this is required when a school corporation is planning to finance more than that non-controlled threshold for any given facility. This resolution contains a total project cost that's going to be financed, the maximum annual payment, and the maximum term of the lease, as Mr. Boucher's presentation was showing before. These contain all the maximums, so the possible for the most number of years you want to go out, the possibility for the largest annual debt service payment, but so then it gives you that flexibility to, as we get closer to the actual time to price the bonds, to look at those different scenarios and have all those at your availability. So it's going to contain the total cost, maximum annual payment, and the maximum lease term, as well as some other financial provisions such as the estimated tax impact, et cetera, and the estimated total interest cost.
All right, could I have a motion and a second to adopt the preliminary determination resolution? So moved, Ms. Folk. Second, Mr. Walker. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0. The next resolution is a reimbursement resolution relating to the financing of the construction projects. This resolution permits the school corporation to reimburse itself from bond proceeds for any cash which it might spend on the projects prior to the closing on the bonds. It is required by federal tax law in order to preserve the school corporation's ability to reimburse itself. Could I have a motion and a second to adopt the reimbursement resolution?
Motion.
So moved, Ms. Gowan.
Second.
Second, Mr. Walker. Is there any discussion?
Let's say this exact same process that we've done on the previous three projects, actually.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
And with that, we will adjourn our project hearing at 6:25. And at 6:25, we will call to order the regular board meeting of the Franklin Township Community School Corporation School Board. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there a motion to approve tonight's agenda? So move, Ms. Gowan.
Second,
Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0. At this time, we'll welcome any public comment from the community. Seeing none, we will move forward with our consent agenda. Tonight's consent agenda includes board meeting minutes from our regular board meeting on February 22nd, 2021, the fund and expenditure summary reports, the accounts payable vouchers and payroll claims, the personnel report, donations, fundraisers, and surplus equipment for disposal. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
So moved, Mr. Walker.
Second.
Second, Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0. We will now move into discussion items. First up is Central 9 report. I know Ms. Downer is absent tonight, and I was not given anything to report on, so we'll move.
I do have a...
Oh, you do have an item? Okay, we'll pass it over to Fred.
So on Central 9, we were notified by them on their potential construction project. And so they gave us financing scenarios for $4 million, $4.5 million, $5 million projects and what our share would be. And so they did that based on a 10-year repayment schedule or a 20-year replacement schedule. And our payment would be anywhere from $1 million to $1.3 million, I believe it is. And so what we told them is instead of – because we want to control our debt service rate and we don't really want to take on any additional debt that we have to manage over the next 10 or 20 years, that we would just pay cash. Our portion, so that by paying cash, our portion would be just would be like $970 some thousand, which would potentially save us $300 and some odd plus thousand if they end up going the 20-year route. So we would just pay cash out of our rainy day fund with our appropriation that we have available. Is what our recommendation would be to the board as they move forward. And then the other districts, if they decide to then finance it, then they can incur the additional interest cost. But we would have. We represent about 20% of the
attendance at CNI.
Just under a quarter percent of the quarter of the cost of the whole organization, I guess. So so we would pay our share and then be done with it, and then that way we won't have to track it. Well, it hasn't been. They'd have to. They haven't sold bonds, so it would depend if they go shorter term or longer term. So if they get a longer term, 10, 20 year, typically the longer yields are a higher percentage rate. So I think they were estimating as high as 5 in their scenario percent. And so current short term rates, which we're doing this 2 year, for example, we hope that they'll be less than 2. So we're trying, personally, we're trying to do shorter terms to keep our interest rate and capitalized interest cost. But full well, there are times we need to do a longer-term project, and in this case, they need that for them. But our portion of it, we don't. So I just wanted to give the board a heads up that our intent would be that we would pay cash for our portion as opposed to financing.
So Fred, I just have a question: When would our portion of that money be due? Sometime this calendar year, or are we looking in 2022?
I'm not sure. I haven't got a timeline, but it could be. Later this calendar year, most likely next year, but
okay.
The other thing, the director said he would come and present to the board.
Oh, perfect.
Would like him to come to our board meeting in April or May. Is that what they're thinking?
That would be great. Yeah. Great. I can communicate to Don. I don't want to speak for the rest of the board, but I think we'd all welcome to hear them. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll make sure that we make that invitation to the C9 director. Thank you. Dr. Hibbard and Fred. Next up is the FTEF report. The FTEF meeting is actually this Friday at 7:30. It's in person here at CTEC, so I don't have anything from the meeting to report on. However, Diana couldn't be with us tonight, but she did want me to remind everyone that the FTEF classroom and building grant application deadline is March 14th. Or it just passed, it was yesterday at midnight. So The scholarship applications actually do remain open through April 5th, 2021. So if you know any one who's eligible, make sure they get those applications in before spring break ends. And then the Thankful for You grant remains open with available funding. This grant reimburses our educators for district-approved programs needed for online and or enhanced classroom instruction. A little under $6,000 have been awarded to date. And finally, the FTEF 2020 annual report will be available online at the end of this month on March 31st, 2021. Are there any questions about FTEF? Seeing none, I will move into a short legislative session report as your legislative liaison. We're officially in the second half of the legislative session. The legislature's been picking up a little bit of steam in the second half. The Indiana School Boards Association had, in the first half, had been tracking 179 bills that affected K-12, pre-K education, and children. And once we moved into the second half, that 179 dwindled down to 61 bills. So that means, you know, a majority of those were not heard or they died in the process. The key dates at our next board meeting, we will have passed the April 13th House Committee Report deadline and the April 13th House Committee Report deadline and the April 15th Senate Report Committee Report deadline. So those are the dates in which a bill that has moved into the opposite chamber must get be voted out of committee and brought to the floor for its second and third reading approvals. So the resolution that we passed on last Monday in opposition to House Bill 1005 and Senate Bill 413, those two bills have not been scheduled, but typically controversial bills don't get scheduled till the end of the that portion of the session. So it'll be probably saved till the end if they move. So are there any questions about the legislative report? All right, seeing none, we will move into action items. Action item number one is to approve the Uniform Conflict of Interest Disclosure Statement for Ms. Downer. Can I get a motion and a second so that we can have any discussion? So I move Ms. Gowan. Second, Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion about Ms. Downer's Conflict of Interest Disclosure Statement? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0. Action item B, approve the Mastery Connect contract. Dr. Hoteri.
Yeah, in front of you is a 3-year contract with Mastery Connect. We talked a little bit about Mastery Connect last week as a platform for our common formative assessment so that we can get timely and relevant feedback about student performance. So in front of you is a 3-year contract, and we recommend approval.
So we can have any further discussion. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Mastery Connect contract?
So moved.
So moved, Mr. Walker.
Second.
Second, Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion? And Dr. Oteri, just to clarify, it is our intention to use some of the stimulus money for this contract, correct?
Yes, sir. It was we discussed about CARES Act money last week.
Okay. Just want to go on the record for that. Any other questions? All those in favor, please say aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0. Up next is to approve the Franklin Central High School chiller bid. Mr. McWhorter.
Yes, sir. You can think of a chiller as a big air conditioner, except they're a lot more expensive than what you would buy for your house. So we solicited bids for a chiller in accordance with our capital projects plan that the board previously approved. We received 6 bids, which we were really pleasantly surprised. We had 12 people pull plans, 6 bids. We are recommending Lehman's Mechanical Contractors as the best responsive and responsible bid, utilizing alternate 1A, utilizing the train chiller in the amount of $232,900. If you go behind the high school and look at where the chillers are, we have 5 of them back there, actually. So this is to replace the last one that we haven't replaced, and then that cycle will start over at some point. And they're all trained chillers, so we want that for compatibility as well. So with that, we'd recommend acceptance.
And I have a motion and a second to have some discussion about the chiller. So So moved, Ms. Gowan. Second, Mr. Walker. Is there any discussion?
Yes, we use Lehman's for various mechanical things. If you notice in the memo that we gave you, they were not the low bid. Actually, Leach and Russell was the low bid by $100, but they did not complete the paperwork properly, which therefore they weren't considered responsive and responsible under the law. So it would cost us more than $100. Thankfully, they were only $100 difference as opposed to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 difference. So it would actually would not behoove us to go through the process, the rebid. It would cost us much more in advertising and stuff. So that's why we selected the one. But yes, both companies have a good reputation, and we recommend Lehman's as the best responsive and responsible.
Fred, my only question is, I know these chillers are in a place that if we do any sort of renovation or addition, we will not have, will we have to move anything? Will they fit into the system that we already have?
Exactly. They'll be planned around. I don't know the age of all five of them. They're, you know, one of them may have to be replaced, but the existing chillers will be incorporated into that.
Okay.
Same with boilers, but most of the boilers are older, so.
Just would hate to put something in that we would have to rip
out.
No,
this will be will not be replaced for the.
Perfect.
If we do an upcoming project at the high school.
Okay. And that's always contingent on funds. So, any other discussion or questions for staff?
And it came in under a bid of estimate of $250.
Great.
It's a team effort.
All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approving the chiller bid, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 4-0.
Thank you.
Is there any new business to be brought before the board? Old business. Superintendent's comments, Dr. Hibbard.
Yeah, so we have some great news, and I'll give a little balance of my time to Fred McWhorter, whose daughter is a participant, so he can brag on as a father of our two choirs. So Fred, you want to tell him about our choirs?
Yeah, we want to congratulate FC Singers and High Voltage for another grand championship. I think it's the fourth one in a row. I think they're running undefeated, as well as Statesmen and Encores, and did very well as well in our in-house band and Electric Mayhem. All the performing arts are doing very well this year.
And Austin Dykes, freshman, right, Chase? She won the individual gymnastics state championship over the weekend, so congratulations to her.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that means we'll get to put an individual plaque up there in the entryway for a state championship?
Absolutely.
It's been a little bit since we've...
Actually, we had Malachi Quarles won two hurdles state championships in either 18 or 19. So, but
that was
previous
the last
that,
one.
There was a little
okay,
bit of a gap.
Okay, there's been a gap.
There,
so another student-athlete to celebrate at the high school for their amazing accomplishment.
That's all other than 4 days till spring break. Who would have thought we'd be sitting here today?
Any board comments? I just want to say, again, thank you to the staff here at CTEC and in our buildings. It's exciting that we're seeing so many educators and our support staff getting vaccinated and have the ability to do that, and that gets us closer to normalcy, so that's very exciting news to see. And I know many people are excited about the getting back a little bit more in person after spring break, so we will continue to be hopeful and optimistic as people come back from spring break. Any other comments from the board? All right, seeing none, we will adjourn our meeting at 6:39.